is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. Now, Puerto Rican independence activist Oscar Lopez Rivera recently released from prison after 35 years, much of which was spent in solitary confinement, was cheered as the Mandela of Puerto Rico before a packed house at the Hostos College. And we're going to bring you highlights of the tribute. Rivera didn't miss a beat after his decades behind the walls as a political prisoner, but rather seemed buoyed by his experience and certainly the ebullience of the crowd, and immediately sounded the drumbeat of resistance to the Puerto Rican Oversight, Management, and Economic Stability Act, PROMESA, and the acts imposed Junta.
He spoke in pained tones of the austerity budget that burdens the populace and denounced the wealthy elite turning Puerto Rico into their playground. He proclaimed loudly and proudly the ongoing resistance against the colonization of Puerto Rico. Before his numerous supporters, he stood an undaunted freedom fighter, intent to support the Puerto Rican people in struggle against the most pronounced manifestations of colonial exploitation and for independence.
Let's rejoice with Rivera's numerous supporters. The night was filled with folkloric music and dance performances and poems such as by acclaimed poet Martin Espada.
We are welcoming another social justice advocate who has no fear, Martin Espada. He has been compared to Pablo Neruda. Martin Espada has published 20 books as a poet, editor, essayist, and translator. Martin sees a clear connection between poetry and activism. Martin Espada.
Such an honor to be here with all of you, because all of you freed Oscar Lopez Rivera. Some of you may have heard that Coca-Cola pulled its sponsorship of the Puerto Rican Day Parade, because Coca-Cola is a paragon of virtue in Latin America. Read up sometime on the killing of union organizers at Coke bottling plants in Colombia. And speaking of the tropics, I am from the tropical paradise of Brooklyn, New York. This poem is based on my first visit to Puerto Rico at the age of 11, where I saw, for the first time, the inner workings of the colonized mind as expressed in my family's choice of beverage. This is called Coca-Cola and Coco Frio. On his first visit to Puerto Rico, island of family folklore, the fat boy wandered from table to table with his mouth open. At every table, some great aunt would steer him with cool, spotted hands to a glass of Coca-Cola. One even sang to him, in all the English he could remember, a Coca-Cola jingle from the 40s. He drank obediently, though he was bored with this potion, familiar from soda fountains in Brooklyn. Then, at a roadside stand off the beach, the fat boy opened his mouth to coco frio, a coconut chilled and scalped by a machete so that a straw could inhale the clear milk. The boy tilted the green shell overhead and drew coconut milk down his chin. Suddenly, Puerto Rico was not Coca-Cola or Brooklyn, and neither was he. For years afterward, the boy marveled at an island where the people drank Coca-Cola and sang jingles from World War II in a language they did not speak, while so many coconuts in the trees sagged, heavy with milk, swollen and unsuckled. One more poem. On Palm Sunday, 1937, there was a Nationalist Party march in Ponce, Puerto Rico. Police opened fire on the independentistas. Within a few minutes, 21 people were killed. More than 200 people were wounded. This came to be known as La Masacre de Ponce. My friend and mentor, Luis Gardan Acosta, is a former member of the Young Lords and the founder of El Puente in Brooklyn. Now, Luis told me about his mother, Nina, and her fiancé, Pellín, and this Ponce massacre. And this gave history a human face, and that's what we have to do, whether we're activists or artists, give history a human face. I dedicate the reading of this poem to my compañero Oscar López Rivera. It's called Rebellion is the Circle of a Lover's Hands, Pellín and Nina, for the 50th anniversary of the Ponce Massacre. The marchers gathered, nationalist mass beneath the delicate white balconies of Marina Street. And the colonial governor pronounced the order with patrician calm. 50 years of family history says it was Pellín who dipped a finger into the bloody soup of his own body and scratched defiance in jagged, wet letters on the sidewalk. Around him stormed the frenzied, clattering drumbeat of machine guns, the stampede of terrified limbs, and the panic wail that rushed babbling past his dim senses. Palm Sunday, 1937. The news halted the circular motion of his lover's hands as she embroidered the wedding dress. She nodded, knew, before she was told. Years later, with another family in a country of freezing spring rain called New York, Nina is quietly nervous when her son speaks of rifles in a bullhorn shout, when coffins are again bobbing on the furious swell of hands and shoulders, and the whip of nightsticks brings fresh blood stinging from the scalp. But rebellion is the circle of a lover's hands that must keep moving, always weaving. Muchas gracias. Y viva Puerto Rico libre!
Lo hicimos. Yes, we did it. He's back home. He's back in Puerto Rico, where he should be. Les presento a mi querido viejo, Oscar López Rivera.
Buenas noches a todos y a todas. I would like to express to everyone the profound gratitude that is in my heart for the solidarity that you have given me, for the hope and the strength that you shared with me while I was in prison. You have made this day possible. The only way that I can pay you is by having a lot of gratitude, a lot of love for each and every one of you. We are Puerto Ricans, we are Latin Americans, we are Americans, we are people who love freedom and justice. One of the saddest things that I have experienced after arriving in Puerto Rico are the conditions that we face in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico, unfortunately, was imposed a fiscal control board that can dictate to the Puerto Rican people what they should do. That should be unacceptable to all of us. Puerto Rico faces an economic crisis not of its making, but of the making of corrupt politicians. I want to point out how those corrupt politicians came into being. In 1898, when the United States government chose to invade and occupy Puerto Rico militarily, there were Puerto Ricans with them, a Puerto Rican elite, a Puerto Rican few in numbers, who chose to serve the interests of the United States government. They made it possible for Puerto Rico to start its colonization by the U.S. government. That elite repeats itself over and over and over. Sometimes we're told that people who fight for independence are only a minority. But the Puerto Rican people, the vast majority of Puerto Ricans want to be Puerto Ricans. We love Puerto Rico. We're willing to do everything we can do to make Puerto Rico the nation that it has the potential of being. But there's an elite that repeats itself. We can start with a man by the name of Luis Muñoz Rivera and his son, Luis Muñoz Marin, one after the other, part of the Puerto Rican elite. And today we have in Puerto Rico the son of Pedro Rosselló, the governor. The governor in Puerto Rico who in the 90s started the privatization of Puerto Rico, started to privatize, to sell that belonged to the Puerto Rican people without the consent of the Puerto Rican people. He sold a lot of what belonged to the public, owned by the public, yet he chose to sell it without the consent of the public. Mostly all Puerto Ricans were opposed, for example, to the selling of the Puerto Rican telephone company. It was a good company. It was a productive company. It created jobs and it had jobs for Puerto Ricans. Today his son is doing basically the same thing that his father did. I do not know how many Puerto Ricans here know about what gentrification does to any community. To the people who live in that community, or to the people who live throughout the space that they occupy. Puerto Rico today, amazingly, there are plenty of construction for condominiums that are worth $2, $3, $4 million. None of those buildings, none of those condominiums are being built for Puerto Ricans. They have been built for people who can invest in Puerto Rico, take the money out of Puerto Rico, and receive incentives from the Puerto Rican government. No Puerto Rican who lives in Puerto Rico, who owns a little business, or who struggles and works, gets incentives from that government. On the 11th of June, the same day that we will be walking on Fifth Avenue, the same day that we will be celebrating the Puerto Rican parade, the Puerto Rican elite has chosen to celebrate a plebiscite, a futile exercise, because Puerto Rico is not going to be made into a state by Washington, by people like Trump, by people who are the legislative branch of the government or the judiciary part of the government. The millions of dollars that have been spent to promote an exercise in futility, something that is worthless, could be used to keep 169 schools that the elite has chosen to close. The millions of dollars could be used to make the University of Puerto Rico a better place. And I would like to hear a big shout for the Puerto Rican students at the University of Puerto Rico. Those students who are there, who have just stopped, they have stopped the strike, but they continue with the struggle. And those are the students who have the future of Puerto Rico in their hands, just like many of the young people here continue, who will continue to have the future of Puerto Rico in their hands. So I ask all of us to think, why those millions of dollars are wasted when they could be used for the betterment of Puerto Rico, especially for the betterment of our youth. To struggle for Puerto Rico, to love Puerto Rico, costs absolutely nothing. What will be costly is if we lose Puerto Rico. And I guarantee you that if the gentrification that is taking place in Puerto Rico continues, we will be losing Puerto Rico. We will not have the place that I consider to be our promised land, the land that every single Puerto Rican in the diaspora can go to and say, this is my land. Soy Boricua, esta es mi tierra prometida. I would like to give you one simple example of what the promised land could be. There is a woman here called Ana Lopez, compañera Ana Lopez. She's the mother of two daughters. She has a grandson, his name is Averito. That land that we want, our promised land, should be not only for Ana, not only for her daughters, but also for Averito. Averito someday can claim, I'm a Puerto Rican, I'm going to my homeland, I'm returning to my homeland. Every grandfather or grandmother here, every mother, every father, every grandchild here should have the same benefits, the same privilege, the same right to say, I am returning to my homeland, my promised land, Puerto Rico. There is another point that I want to make. A decision was made by the Puerto Rican Parade Committee. A decision to invite me to partake in this year's Puerto Rican Day Parade. I want to express my profound and heartfelt gratitude to that committee for one reason and one main reason. It did not succumb. It did not run away from the challenge. It did not allow certain corporations to blackmail it, to dictate to it what it should do. It is the right of that committee to decide what he wants to do with the Puerto Rican Day Parade. And no Puerto Rican should allow himself or herself to be dictated how to live. How to go around, whether it's in New York, whether it's in Chicago, wherever it is, with his or her hand standing out, Puerto Ricans cannot allow, we cannot allow ourselves ever, ever to be dictated by anyone except our conscience, our heart, our will, our mind, our spirit, to do what we think is right, to do what we think is just, to do what is best for all of us. We should never, never allow a government that is corrupt, a government that is racist, a government that discriminates, a government with a president that abuses women, who has hatred and fear in his heart and wants to promote hatred and fear. We should not allow that man to dictate to us what Puerto Ricans should do in Puerto Rico or what Puerto Ricans should do in this country. I've been told in Puerto Rico, I've heard it many times, that Puerto Ricans who are independentistas, Puerto Ricans who believe in Puerto Rican independence, hate Americans. And one of the things that I have said is, Puerto Ricans who love Puerto Rico cannot hate Americans. Because Americans extend from Alaska all the way down to Punta de Fuego in Argentina. Because I have 3 generations of Puerto Rican, part of my family, living in this country. They are Puerto Ricans, they love Puerto Rico, but they live in this country. They were born, raised in this country. And they are Americans. I cannot hate my own family, and I know that none of you would hate your family. So when I'm told, when I hear people say that we hate Americans, I tell them, you're wrong. You're wrong. But besides that, we should wake up every day filling our hearts with love and compassion to move forward. Because a heart full of love, a heart full of compassion, will not allow it to be poisoned by hatred and fear. We face many challenges in Puerto Rico. I ask diasporic Puerto Ricans to help Puerto Rico as much as you can. One of the messages that I have taken to the Puerto Ricans in Puerto Rico is that we need to maintain ourselves unified. We need to create a big tent where all Puerto Ricans who love Puerto Rico can come together, transcend their differences, just with one purpose, to decolonize Puerto Rico. I'm certain that love for Puerto Rico is the solution to the colonization of Puerto Rico. Love, if we really love Puerto Rico, we can come together. The common denominator in that particular moment is love for Puerto Rico. But also, most Puerto Ricans want to be Puerto Ricans. Most Puerto Ricans want to stay in Puerto Rico, to live in Puerto Rico. Most Puerto Ricans in the diaspora have hope of returning to Puerto Rico. And there's a second common denominator that should unite us, and that is decolonizing Puerto Rico. Love Puerto Rico. Love Puerto Rico and decolonize Puerto Rico. We can do it. What we cannot do is allow more and more Puerto Ricans to emigrate During the last 15 years, over 1 million Puerto Ricans have emigrated. Mostly all of them could have stayed in Puerto Rico, could have been making contribution to Puerto Rico. It has been probably the biggest brain drain that we have experienced. We have lost a lot of professionals, doctors, teachers, engineers, hospital health workers. We have lost students. So those are things that can make a big dent and lead to the destruction of our homeland. Because Puerto Rico, if we do not stop what is going on right now, we are bound to lose our homeland. And I'm going to tell you two things. If we want to see the future of Puerto Ricans in Puerto Rico, when Hawaii was annexed and when Hawaii became a state, mostly all the citizens of Hawaii were people who had moved from the 48 states into Hawaii. And today, probably 10% of the Hawaiian population is native. But if we go to the prisons in Hawaii, most of the prisoners are the Hawaiian natives. And the same thing we will see in Alaska. And native Puerto Ricans, once Puerto Rico is no longer our homeland, will be facing the same conditions. We can prevent Puerto Rico from being destroyed, Puerto Rico from being taken over by foreigners, Puerto Rico not to be our promised land. We cannot allow that to happen. So I beg of you to keep Puerto Rico in your hearts, in your minds, to think of Puerto Rico as our promised land, and to see ourselves doing everything we can to make Puerto Rico the nation that it has the potential of being. To see Puerto Rico become an Edenic garden in the Caribbean. Que sea así, que viva Puerto Rico libre.
Cheering on the Mandela of Puerto Rico, Oscar Lopez Rivera. And we were there and brought you that stirring and stunning presentation of Oscar Lopez Rivera. This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.